Now, 2 weeks ago, I called your attention to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth. This is something else we know. Every one of us know it by experience. We know it by reading our papers and listening to the radio. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. But verse 28 says, we also know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, in verse 22, he says the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Why do you suppose he uses that phrase, until now? Well, to understand this, we must go back to a passage in Mark, two passages in Mark, the first chapter and verses 32 to 34, where our Lord is conducting a great healing campaign. And at even, or in the evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and that were possessed of demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick with divers diseases and cast out many demons and suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. Now in the first chapter, in verse 44, we clearly read that these miraculous demonstrations were signs. In verse 44, somebody says to him, he says to the man that was healed of his leprosy, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. In other words, it had been said that Messiah would work these wonders. So now he says, go show yourself to the priest. Show him that you've been cleansed from leprosy for a testimony unto them. Let me read you from the 35th chapter of Isaiah, just a few verses. Verse 5, this is the prophecy of Isaiah. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. That's verses 5 and 6. And in verse 10, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now this, beloved, is why our Lord's healing campaigns went hand in hand with the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. When he came to reign, sickness and trouble and sorrow and death were to be abolished. And he was abolishing them here as signs of his messiahship. Now we know that Christ was rejected and crucified. But do you remember his prayer on the cross? We read it in Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so his beloved people God's chosen people were given another chance, and Christ was raised from the dead. Now, we read about this in Acts 2, and we find that this was indeed another chance to accept Messiah. Listen to Acts 2, verses 29 to 31. Men and brethren, Peter says, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. So, he says in Psalm 132, David speaks as a prophet of the resurrection of Christ, who was to sit upon his throne. Then you go to the third chapter of Acts, and the 19th and 20th verses, where Peter makes a bona fide offer of the return of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom. He says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you. But you remember the story. The king and the kingdom were still rejected. He was still despised and hated, and remains so unto this day, still rejected, an exile from his own world in heaven, albeit a voluntary exile. With this, beloved, the miraculous signs vanished. All those healed became ill again and finally died. The kingdom was held in abeyance, and as one has said, the death rate, regardless of all the claims of all the healers in the world, the death rate still remains one apiece. Now, this is why the apostle says in Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. At Pentecost, it seemed there was hope that maybe a great change would come. A Messiah would be accepted, his kingdom would be established, and trouble and sorrow and sighing would flee away. But no, he was rejected. The change has not even yet come. Still there is war and disaster, trouble and misery, sickness and death. These are the common lot of mankind until this day. But the apostle goes on in verse 23, not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. Notice this. At Pentecost, you had a foretaste of what will happen when Christ reigns in the millennium. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not. Paul's converts were not. Read his epistles. It's clear that they were not. We have the Spirit within us by grace, and we are to appropriate his help by faith. But this is only the first fruits. We're waiting for the time when the body will be redeemed, and when our moral righteousness will be perfect. Now then, this reminds us, he says here in Romans 8, verse 23, we wait for the redemption of our bodies. Galatians 5 says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now at Pentecost, Oh, they didn't wait for anything. They were perfect. You can't find a sin, not a blunder, nor a mistake in those first chapters of Acts, because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only that, there was perfect health. If one was sick, a word cured him. But we have to wait. If the Pentecost experience had not been abortive, if there had been an acceptance instead of a rejection of Christ, they would have had to wait no longer. Perfect health and deliverance from sin would have been their lot and would have remained their lot. But as I say, he was rejected and his kingdom was rejected. And so now we groan and travail, even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have to wait for the fullness when we'll be perfectly righteous. We have to wait for healthy bodies. Now then, to recapitulate, let me read just once more. We know, and every one of us knows this. This is not something we have to argue about. It is evident every day of our lives. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Oh, but thank God there is another thing we know. This is found in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together, actually are being worked together. They work together not luckily, but designedly. All things are being worked together by God for good to them that love him and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, beloved, some people find it hard, some Christians find it hard to believe this. Perhaps all things do not work together for our present apparent good, but certainly for our eventual eternal good. Now, for the present then, these troubles must have a good reason. God would not leave his children in trouble without some very good reason for it. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's word to the Corinthians about his own afflictions. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 7. Here he tells about a thorn in the flesh. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now listen, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul exulted in his infirmities because he knew that in God, in his weakness, God made him strong. Therefore, verse 10, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How different this is from the crying and demanding perfect health, and this argument that if we don't have perfect health, it's a sign of lack of faith. Is there any man listening to me or any woman who has more faith than the Apostle Paul had? Any greater witness for Christ? Any man who lived more untiringly and self-sacrificingly for our Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I rather exalt our glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For he says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Oh, my Christian friend, be honest and face this thing as it is in your own experience. Is it not true that when we are well in body and strong, we are so apt to forget God and our great need of Him? Is it not true that in weakness we lean the harder, we pray the more, we trust the more implicitly? Of course it is. Oh, may God teach us the dispensational place of miraculous signs. By the way, we have a message here entitled "The Dispensational Place of Miraculous Signs." If you would like to have it, please simply write and ask for the free message on signs or miraculous signs. Make it simple. Simply ask for the free message on signs, and we'll make sure that we get it to you, postage paid, entirely free, and immediately. You let us know now. We want you to have this message on the dispensational place of healing and tongues and other miraculous signs. Now then, the 8th chapter of Romans and the 18th verse takes up this matter as to the future. For the present, Paul says, "My illness and my infirmities are valuable. They make me lean harder on Him. When I'm weak, then I find I am strong." That is, when I'm physically weak, I am spiritually strong. Now, what about the future? Listen to Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Isn't that beautiful? And 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18, "Our light," I better read the 16th verse too, "for the which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Well, beloved, the essence of faith today is to be found in the 4th chapter of Paul's epistles, a wonderful verse here in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything." Now, see the contrast there. Don't be anxious about a thing, and you won't. "If in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known unto God, and whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive." Oh no, we saw last week that this is not the dispensational place for us. Oh no. Here he says, "Pour your heart out to God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Ah, no wonder the apostle says in Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen." Mrs. Stamm and I were having supper in a restaurant in Albany, Georgia, years ago, and we had just given our waitress a gospel tract and asked her to read it thoughtfully. And this brought about an incident that I think we shall neither of us ever forget. The young lady was married and had one child, even though still just a teenager. But she was a sincere believer and had already learned one lesson which is bound to enrich the life of any Christian. About 10 months previous, her little baby, only 2 months old, had become seriously ill. The little one was taken to the hospital, but her condition worsened daily. She said, "I was on my knees so much in those days, begging the Lord day after day not to take my little child, and I guess I got a little bitter one night when the doctor warned me in a kind way not to expect too much. I went home again," she said, "and began claiming promises from the Lord when it dawned on me that I hadn't been praying right. All of a sudden it came to me, and I said, 'Lord, I'm your child, and I know perfectly well that you wouldn't do anything to harm me. So please help me to trust you and to understand that whatever you do is for my good.' I felt better then," she said, "and I guess the Lord just wanted me to learn that lesson, because what do you think? The very next morning, when I went to the hospital, one of the nurses came to me almost dancing. She said, 'Honey, your baby's going to live. The crisis is over. You should see how well he's doing.' And he was. And you should see him now. You should see what a fine, healthy baby he is. I'm so thankful," said this young teenage mother. "I'm so thankful, and believe me, I've learned that lesson, and I won't go on demanding things from the Lord again."